Good evening, everyone. Good to see you here on this Wednesday night midweek service. Go ahead and stand with me if you would as we sing tonight our first song, Nothing But the Blood. Sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Job of singing, My Savior First of All. There's 72 if you need your groups tonight. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know. Redeemed by His side, I shall stand. seated. Brother Larry Sparks, would you open us tonight in prayer, please? Brother Larry.
Again, Lord, we're thankful for the wonderful love and the sacrifice that you made for us, Jesus, there at Calvary. How we love you tonight, and we do look forward to that day when that trumpet will sound and we'll be there in your presence, Lord. Just bless now all that's said and done tonight. May even someone come to know you tonight and have that wonderful joy of salvation. Just bless the pastors he preaches to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. Brother Dave got some missionary letters tonight.
All right. I have Skittles or M&Ms for the prize today. And the question I had, about four or five different people asked me, what's the question? And then somebody go, what's the answer? And I go, it's in the missionary letter. It's easy. It's in the missionary letter. So the question for the day is, we had the Reap family to the Philippines. And I'm not going to make you try to say the big long word and the one that's kind of hard to think, but I'm going to ask you, he said, since his last letter, they had a certain amount of souls, profession of salvations. How many was it? We'll give somebody else a chance, Miss Siler, first. What? How many? Oh, that's close, man.
15.
Huh? 15 is correct. Do you want the Skittles or the M&Ms? Which one do you want? Surprise you when I come down? Okay. I'll give you one of them when I come down. So, good job. I appreciate you. The only reason I do this, somebody asked me, why are you doing the canyon stuff? To make people think more about our missionaries. It's more about our missionaries than anything else, right? That's why we have our missionary time. So today we have the Paul and Teresa Herson to Pakistan. It says, nation of Pakistan is getting older. It's 77 years since they were a nation of their own because they were under British rule for a long time. And it says he's in Karachi, and there's 25 million people in the part of Pakistan that he lives in. He said that the church there, which is a really cool church, Central Baptist Church, there in Karachi, is 67 years old this last year and everything. Said they've been celebrating a lot of good times and everything. And he says him and his wife have celebrated 56th wedding anniversary last year. And this gentleman is 83 years old and still on the mission field. It's exciting to see seasoned veterans sticking to the guns of what they need to do and stuff. And it also said that they need to be praying for the area of Karachi. He's thankful for the open part of God's harvest field. It's still open because a lot of Pakistan is not open to the gospel, but Karachi area is, so keep in prayer that it will stay open for them. And then we also have the McClure family, missionaries to Brazil. And he says, I have not written a letter since mid-November, so I'm going to just, rather than try to summarize everything, he's going to give some prayer requests. He wants us to be praying for his father, Dean, and his mother, Dolores. Father has been diagnosed with chronic liver disease and has been having a major struggle with that. He actually had to come back to the States for a couple months and help with him. And then now his brother-in-law and sister are taking care of their dad, but it's too much for mom to handle by herself. So keep mom in prayer also. And then pray. He asks us to pray for all of his children. He has Nathaniel and Elena, who are college students, and Joel, who is a senior fixing to graduate, hasn't decided what he has to do. But in Brazil, it says they have to register and serve 1 year in the military once you turn 18 years of age. And he's praying that God's will be done, but he's hoping that they might not make his son do that so he can go off to college and stuff. But be in prayer for that. And then it says they have been seeing lots of numerical growth in the church with three families interested in joining and three first-time moms expecting babies. And then they're going to ordain a pastor in turn named Vinicius. So do remember to keep the McClure family and the Herson family in your prayers this week.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all out tonight. If you grab your prayer list here, got some things to make you aware of, have you add to the list, and then of course we'll take some from the floor as well. So we have a couple praises to start the night with. First off, we had 59 on bus tonight, so we praise the Lord for that. And then we've got another praise. Miss Deb Mangrum has had us praying for her brother, Gary Pogue. He's the one that had the accident and had surgery on his brain two different times now. So she said he's doing great now. He goes in to get the staples and stitches removed tomorrow, and everything looks to be really good for him. So thank you for praying for Deb Mangrum's brother, Gary. And then this is a praise as well. Miss Deb had gone in for a scan here recently. She'd had cancer previously. They got it taken care of, and then another scan proved that it was back. So she says now that it's been taken care of, it's been removed and cauterized, and they're confident that the cancer cells are all gone. And so she thanks you for praying for her in that, and says that if you could just pray in 6 months, she goes back for a follow-up. And so that's for Miss Deb Mangrum. And then on the prayer request side, if you could pray for her grandson, his name is Gunner Mangrum. He is at the ER right now, had a neurological emergency at school, and just pray that doctors can figure out what's going on there. And so if you could pray for the Mangrum family, they would appreciate that. And then if we could pray for Miss Daylene Clark. She was here with us on Sunday, came in to be a surprise to Caitlin as they were getting her wedding dress. And so anyhow, they're down in the city right now, and she flies out early tomorrow morning, and it's obviously an all-day flight back to Germany. So just pray for the Clarks if you could. And then I saw that Miss Eddie Morris is just asking for continued prayers for little Rose. Rose is 5. She had tubes put in yesterday or the day before and is in recovery and dealing with some pain there. So please pray for the little Rose Morris if you could. And then if you could add Courtney Beck to your prayer list. The Becks are relatively new members here, but Courtney goes in on a Monday for hip surgery. And so if you pray for that and just the recovery time. And then we had a message from Curtis Kirk. Curtis and Rachel Kirk have a brother, Kevin and Hillary Kirk, if you could add them. Kevin and Hillary are expecting, and they're having a rough time with this pregnancy. And so I'm not sure how far into it they are, but if you could pray for Kevin and Hillary Kirk as they work through some challenges with their pregnancy, they'd appreciate that. And then my last one that I've got is a personal request. I think I mentioned this a couple months ago, but got a pastor friend, Tyrone Barfield, and he and his wife started a church down in Texarkana, Texas, about 8 years ago. And Miss Cindy Barfield, they don't exactly know why, but she was dealing with some unknown situation, but it was leading to about 10 or 12 times a day where she was throwing up, and doctors couldn't figure out why for weeks at a time. So they got her on medicine, and things looked good for several weeks. And it's taken a turn a couple of weeks ago. For the last 3 weeks, she's been in the hospital with it, and they've transferred her over to Dallas now. And so if you could just pray for the Barfields, just a lot for anybody to go through something like that. And then, of course, he's pastoring a church plant, so basically he and his wife do everything. And so very hard on their ministry. So if you could pray for the Barfields, that would definitely be a blessing to them. And with that, we'll go ahead and drop down to the floor. So Tyler's got the microphone. We'll start over here with Brother Greg. Anybody either side, raise your hand, and we'll get you.
Yeah, I've got a couple here. Just keep praying for my brother. He is not doing good at all. It's accelerating, his cancer is now. And he just won't even rest. My mom's really upset because he won't rest because he's so demanding. He has to get to North Carolina. So he's just getting really tired now. His cancer's really spreading really fast. Just pray for my mom and my dad that they're taking it hard, that he's going to North Carolina, and they're afraid that they won't be next to his bedside when he passes if something happens. So they're really struggling. And then also pray for the wildfires back west. The railroad's been shut down for 36 hours out there. It's so bad. And I think like 850,000 acres have been burnt so far over there. So there's a lot of farmers and houses have been burnt down there in Canadian, Texas. So.
Okay. We can do that. Okay. Thank you, Brother Greg. Anybody else far side? Miss Pam?
My sister just wants to thank you all for praying. Things are getting better. She doesn't have a house yet, but things are looking up. She wants to thank you.
Good deal. Okay, anybody else as far side or middle? All right, I see right back there. Miss Melissa.
My brother-in-law, Garland Hoffman, and my nephew, his son, Buddy Hoffman, they both have like heart issues. The younger one's not as bad, but I pray that you would keep them in prayer.
Yeah, we can do that. And that's Garland and Buddy? Okay. Okay. Anybody else right along here? We got Brother Tommy up at the front. Anybody backside over here while he's coming up? All right, so Joella, Miss Joella, and then Brother Tommy. Okay, Brother Tommy.
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers. I can feel them.
Amen.
Know they're working.
Yes, and, sir.
Things are getting better. It's just going to take a while.
That's, yep.
And I just want to let everybody know that I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
I just thank God that he's taking over and doing what I knew he would.
Amen. That's good, Brother Tommy. We were having staff meeting on Monday, and Brother Matt brought up something that's been on his heart for a while that he was wanting to pray about, and he led us in prayer when we were done, and by lunchtime it got taken care of. And so God does answer those prayers. He knows what we need when we need it. That's good. Miss Joella?
I also want to thank everybody for prayer. As you can see, I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
And I want to thank for the people that brought food over, because Richard didn't have to starve one meal. And, you know, Richard and I have been married 60 years in December of this year, and I didn't think I needed to learn any more about him. But being an invalid, he certainly has stepped up to the page and took well care of me those 2 weeks. And
amen.
Met my every need. So
amen.
3 o'clock in the morning, turning me, help me get out of bed,
wow.
Walk, whatever. He's been amazing.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So now that she knows this, Brother Richard.
Yeah. 60 years.
Bah humbug.
Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm glad Sarah is in cubbies right now and didn't have to hear that husbands can do that at 3 a.m. Okay. Okay, anybody else over here? All right, I see Brother Brian right up here. Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, I asked for prayer for Bill Wright. So he's on hospice now. They
is he?
Actually called today and asked us to gather his belongings in the office to bring home to him. So just keep that family in your prayers.
Mike?
I just wanted to thank everybody for all the prayers. We've been kind of going through a season in our family between my shoulder surgery and the barn burning and my grandson breaking his neck. And it was just like one thing after another, things have been going on. So, but I appreciate everybody helping us out and just keeping us in their prayers.
Amen. Amen. Is the grandson the one that was, this is the one that was in the wrestling?
Yes.
Okay.
He had retrograde amnesia, where he lost about 2 months after the memory, but he's getting it back slowly.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, that's good. That's a blessing. Thanks for the update there. Anybody this far side? Don't see anybody. I've got a personal one to add then. I think we'll end with this one. So if you could just keep praying for my nephew. His name is Gabriel Dietz. He has muscular dystrophy, a version of it called Duchenne's, and it's a pretty tough time. And so he goes in tomorrow to get a wheelchair. He's 7, but he goes in tomorrow to get his wheelchair and then starts learning how to live life with that. And so I know my sister and brother-in-law would appreciate it if you could pray for them, pray for my niece, and then pray for my nephew Gabe. I know that would mean a lot to them. And with that, we'll go ahead and lift these up to the Lord. And so if you'll join me in prayer, Lord, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight, to be in your presence. God, we think about the book of Isaiah chapter 6 and just how holy you are and what a scene there is in heaven even right now as we take time out of our weekly schedule to meet with you. God, there's angelic beings, Lord, circling the throne right now, calling you out for what you are as a holy and perfect God. And we just thank you that we get to know you as well, Lord, that we get to have a relationship with you. And have a great church where we can come and fellowship with others and encourage one another and just honestly just point our attention back to you each time that we assemble. God, we thank you for the way that you're working in our midst. Lord, 2023 was just a phenomenal year. And God, we look at 2024 as the 90th year of the church, and we just marvel at what you're doing. God, I thank you even this afternoon as I was driving across Grand and just saw where Central Baptist started 90 years ago, and just to think about what Ponca was like then and what it would have been like now if this ministry hadn't begun. And God, where would we be? Lord, how many of us wouldn't know you if this ministry hadn't begun and the people of this church's history hadn't endeavored to share the gospel and connect people to you. God, we thank you for what you have done and the people that you've used, and we pray that you'd use us in much the same way, if not even greater. God, thank you for the ministries here with Sunday school and junior church, and Lord, for Awana's and Impact and the bus ministry and just different avenues of ministering to people. God, we just pray that you'd continue to work in these. Lord, there's a lot of churches that have cut back on services and definitely cut back on expensive ministries because they just don't have the resources or they don't think that that's where they ought to put their resources in. And God, we're just thankful for the harvest that we've seen. So many getting saved throughout the course of the year. And God, we just want to pray that you continue to provide for that so that more and more can. And God, we just pray that you would just bless the work that's going on even right now as TNT and the Cubbies and the Sparks and Impact are being taught the word right now. I pray that you'd calm everybody's minds and help them to listen in and to gain something from the time. Of course, we pray that for us and here. Thank you for our pastor being home, and God, just pray that you'd use him in a wonderful way. Lord, we thank you for the updates we were given from the missionaries, the McClures, and the Hersons. God, what a blessing to hear 83 years and still serving you on the foreign field. Just pray that you continue to meet their needs, help them to be able to find additional help to support the ministry, Lord. And God, for the McClures there in Brazil, Lord, may you just work in the dad's or the grandpa's health and the needs that he has. Pray that you would help the son as he's trying to figure out what to do and has the military right in front of him. I just pray that you'd help him to be guided by you. God, for the different physical needs that have been mentioned tonight, Mike Olson, Garland and Buddy Hoffman, Bill Wright, Cindy Barfield, Rose Morris, Courtney Beck, and Kevin and Hillary Kirk, Lord, just pray your blessing on them and that they could see recovery and improvement. Lord, pray for encouragement for those that are facing hard times. Pray especially for the Bill Wright family. As Brother Bill is on hospice now, just pray that you'd bring encouragement to the family. God, pray that you be with those that are involved in the wildfires out west and that they could get that under control, get those put out. Lord, that life can continue on there. Lord, bless our pastor now as he's prepared to preach. Pray that you'd use the message that he's got for us in a wonderful way. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, if you would go ahead and stand one more time with me. I want that mountain. I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I cry. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. Milk and honey flow where the grapes of Eshel grow. I want that mountain. remain standing. Grab your Bibles, Pastor.
Brother Andy, appreciate that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, so if you want to head over there, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 once again. And good to see everybody out tonight. And since you're already standing, we have to go ahead and have you read instead of making you sit down and jump right back up. And so we'll do our Bible study reading tonight. Been going through the book of Ecclesiastes. And we were here last week. We're going to revisit this portion. I didn't finish up with that. So we're going to hit it again. And we'll do a little bit of reminding you. I'm not going to have any questions like Dave, and I have no candy bars for you. How's that? You know, and but we're going to give it a shot. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, if you're there. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then it goes on to list a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, time to break down and a time to build up, time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And of course, this isn't an exhaustive list. But then it goes on to say, what profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He made everything beautiful in his time, and he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Thank you. May be seated. Well, welcome back to our Wednesday night studies. We are going through Ecclesiastes on Wednesday nights and learning the meaning of life. And that's our theme as we go through that. Solomon takes a lot of it, if you remember, from a very humanistic standpoint. Kind of looks at it from a carnal standpoint. And so when he's talking so often, you have to make sure you understand he's viewing it that way. Just from a fleshly, carnal man, kind of void of God's purpose and plan. That's kind of how he's looking at it. And then he'll weave in and show us the important purpose. So last week we studied this and the importance of time and what it meant. And I'm going to just remind you of some of our applications we went over. Number one, we talked about we need to learn to live in God's will because really that's the best possible life. If you stop and think about it, God says, I have a time for everything. I have a purpose. I have a plan. And we talked about God's divine plan. And that's what he's saying here. He goes, man, God is over everything. He's got a plan for everything. And by the way, man's not going to stop God's plan. You realize that. I mean, he's given us free will, and you've got some wiggle room in there to make some choices and do some things. But when God's decided something particular, no man will ever change it or stop it. He's got a divine plan. That's how God's going to work. And in this, we learn that if God's got a plan and a will and a purpose and a time for everything, the best thing we would do is to follow what Paul told us, and that is to find the will of God and to live in the will of God. And so we kind of began there. Secondly, we jumped from that and took another thought from there. And I put down here, we need to learn to accept God's timing. That becomes probably the most obvious here. We parked there for a little bit on just understanding timing. And the fact of the matter is we just kind of accept it. You say, what he's saying? I think sometimes we fight it. And we fight what's happening and when it's happening. And can I remind you, God knows what he's doing. And God knows what is best. And I'm amazed as you watch and in life and how you see God working and how sometimes we think he's too late or he's too early. And can I tell you, he's never late. He's never early. God is always right on time. And can I tell you, he doesn't work on our schedule. Not never on our schedule. I was talking to Dad today, and of course, he's in the nursing home, and I was having fun with Dad. We're having a good time. Dad and I always tease each other, and Dad's like, you know, people don't operate on my schedule. And I go, Dad, you don't have a schedule. You know, and he kind of looked at me, and he goes, well, yeah, I do. You know, we kind of start laughing. And I'm like, well, Dad, they're not going to. I mean, they just don't. You come to a different season in your life, and now where he's at, you have to kind of work on everyone else's schedule, and that's hard. That's difficult. And I thought about that even as, you know, we were kind of laughing back and forth and going through it. And even driving home, though, I kind of thought about that and said, but the problem is, even for a lot of us, we don't like to operate within God's schedule or God's timing. We don't want to. We have our own way. And so we learn from this passage that God has a purpose and a season for everything. And then one other we'll bring out. There are several more, but we need to understand that nothing gets past God. And so we kind of talked about that a little bit, and the fact that, listen, whatever happens besides God's timing and God's seasons, you're never going to get something past God. In other words, whatever is happening, can I remind you? God knows. No, God knows. He's very much aware of what's happening in your life, in my life, and can I tell you? And he cares. That's the other amazing thing. Not only does he know, he cares. So that's kind of just a quick summary of some of what we went over last week. But I want to continue in this vein just a little bit. I just have some observations here. Even as a minister, one of the first things I do is just kind of observe a passage, make some notes, and just kind of do a general observation when I'm looking through it. We didn't cover a lot of that last time. But since our theme is, what is the meaning of life, taking that and kind of putting it in this aspect where this chapter deals with, at least the beginning, time. There's a season, a time for everything. And so my thought process from observations came, so what do we do with our time? So what about our time? We didn't major a lot on that last week, and I wanted to come back to that and the importance of it. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about little bitty things of you do too much with your time here or too much with your time there, so you don't need to worry about that tonight. I'm not here to judge everybody's personal time in that aspect. I'm talking from a general aspect about time. And in this passage, Solomon, in his talking to us through inspiration, list some things as we're talking about the meaning of life and what we do with time, and some general things that everybody will partake in. And it would do us good to kind of think about this for a minute and what we actually do with our time. And he lists some things for us. Matter of fact, we're going to go through these real quick and talk about God's meaning in life and the time that we have. First and foremost, I want to jump down to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He says there, he hath made everything beautiful, and here it is again, in his time. In his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And last week we talked about that. There's just some things in God's plan you'll never understand. But there's another aspect of this. And so the first observation here tonight I have for you is this. I wrote down this. God made life a mystery to solve. I don't know if you ever looked at it that way. But he says, listen, you'll never understand everything. Which is true. Because God is God. Matter of fact, the secret things in Deuteronomy 29:29 say belong to God. You do understand there's some things you'll never get. But here's the other side of it. Are you ready? Here's the magnificent part of life we often miss. You know, God made life a mystery. You say, how do you know that? Are you married? Yeah, come on, you know where I'm going. Yeah, if you're married, you know they are very mysterious. Hard to figure out. Just when you think you got them. Did you not hear Miss Joella? 60 years, she goes, I learned something new. Learned something new after 60 years. It's like, can you realize? It can happen. Matter of fact, here's one of the things I enjoyed looking at this. I love the fact that God made life mysterious. I love the fact we don't get everything. I have never come to a place in my life where I understand everything. And just when you think you get there, I'm going to be honest with you. The older I get, I feel dumber. You say, what do you mean? The more I learn, the more knowledge that's opened up to me, the more I realize what I don't know. And you think at this stage there'd be pride and arrogance and look how much we know and look at all my degrees. Instead, I'm like, I'm dumb. Man, you say, why? I mean, there's so much. There's so much we don't get. I mean, there's things we do understand. But I love this. Life is always a mystery. I mean, there's always things to solve. There's always things to see. And again, as you get older, you start watching Discovery Channel. And you learn that, amen? Some of you are going, what's that? You'll learn one day. But I mean, all of a sudden, there's all these mysteries and things you try to figure out. And what I like about this is God designed life so there'd always be a thrill to it. No, seriously, there'd always be some thrill to it. There's no way you'll ever get to a point where you should say this, I'm bored. That's dumb. I mean, people are like, I'm bored with life. Are you kidding? I mean, open up your eyes, folks. There's so, to say I'm bored is say, well, I figured everything out. No, you haven't. Try something new, get involved in something. When I look at this, I just see that God has made life, and there's a mystery side to it. And part of it, he purposely will not let us know everything. Because one, man can never attain to where God is. You'll never be like God. And there's always going to be this excitement, but there's always going to be also a trust that has to be put in God because of the mysteries that are there. So the first thing I look just in a general observation is I enjoyed the mysteries. But then there's a second one. We mentioned it. It's there as well. Look at verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. So not only is there a mystery to life, but as we talk about time and life and what God has done, there's also beauty. And so I just stopped about and thought about that for just a minute. I do understand the old proverb, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I get that. What something you may call beautiful, I may not. We went years ago to the Chicago Art Museum. That's not me. Just let you know. But I went. I decided to have some culture. And so we went, and our daughter-in-law, who we love, she's the artist and art and everything. And so she said, would you guys mind going? And we're like, yeah, let's go. And inside, I'm thinking, really? You know, but I got to be honest, I was impressed with some of it. But then there's this area done by Picasso. I just got to help you. There's something wrong with that guy. Okay, I'm just going to help you right now. If you don't know art, just look up Picasso. I mean, it's weird, man. I mean, there's stuff all over. I'm thinking, if this guy makes this much money off of this, I have hope. In fact, I was in the doctor's office today for a visit, and I was standing there just waiting, and I don't normally sit a lot because I sit throughout the day, so I'm just standing there, and I'm looking at a painting, and I saw the artist's name, and literally the thought came to me. I'm like, how much did they pay for this? Because I'm telling you, it was nothing but brush strokes. That's it. Different color brush strokes. Now, those of you that are artists, you're already thinking, you don't get it, preacher. You're right. And I probably never will. You know, but I do get this. Somebody likes it. And somebody bought it. You know why? Because it's beautiful to them. So beauty is often in the eye of the beholder. But here's the thing I see here. God makes, are you ready? All things beautiful. You know, even if you don't see something beautiful, God makes it beautiful. The fact of the matter is God's not only made this life mysterious, and in our time, we have time to search out some of the mysteries of God, but he's also allowed us to have time to enjoy the beauties, and we can talk about the creation and nature and all those type of things and the beauty of it. As a matter of fact, everybody's beautiful to somebody, amen? One of the funniest things I heard was just a few weeks ago, and you know how sometimes people say things without thinking? So we were in a church, and I was talking, and you know the casual conversations that you have? And I ran into this lady's mom and dad, and so we introduced ourselves, and we're just talking, and finally I said, hey, I was just wondering how your daughter met this man here, and you know how they got together, and we were doing a marriage conference, so it was just kind of a casual conversation. She goes, oh, yeah, it's a good story. First of all, she was so ugly as a teenager. And I remember just stopping going, huh, I don't think I've ever heard that from a mother before in my life. You know, and I realized I was just kind of perplexed. I don't know if my face showed it or not. She goes, oh, but she blossomed. She's a pretty young lady, blossomed into a beautiful young lady. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to tell her you said that. Because normally, you know, you're always beautiful to mom, you know. But she's like, now there's a stage. In other words, there's a season to everything, amen? There's that awkward season. And so even as I just take an observation here, let me tell you, you know, God designed this earth not just for mystery, but can I tell you, beauty? Do you know it's okay to enjoy God's creation? You know it's okay to enjoy beauty. Why? God designed it. Another observation I had is we're just looking at time and life. God made life with work to do. So I was looking at this, and in verse 13 he says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. Well, if you back up to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, look at verse 19. And he says, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool, yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. Verse 20, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. And he goes on to say it again in verse 21 and 22 and 24. Then Ecclesiastes 4:8 says, there is one alone and there is not a second, yea, he hath neither cold nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. And then Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And I just stop right there, but there's a theme running throughout all, really all of Solomon's work, even in Proverbs. Are you ready? Man was designed to work. In other words, God created this life and God created time. And with our time, we solve mysteries. And with our time, we enjoy the beauty of creation. And with our time, we work, we labor. And Solomon's just showing us that life has a lot to it. No, I don't want you to miss this. Are you ready? Life has a lot to it. God made life fulfilling in so many ways. I tell you that, folks, there's a reason to live. Hey, there is a reason to live. You and I are to live and to breathe until God takes the breath away. I'm going to help you real quick. And in that, he has a purpose and a season of time, and you'll get older and you'll wear down and you won't be able to do as much, but you still have value and purpose. Why? Because God made life. And part of that life is working. And I mean, we work, and you could talk a lot about labor, but I'm telling you, it's just the way God designed it. Even from the garden, God designed us to work. And then he gives us another observation. Are you ready? And I look at verse 12. I know that there is no good in them, Ecclesiastes 3:12, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. So again, I'm observing, what is life about, and what kind of time does God give us and that we're supposed to take with life? And so we're to enjoy the mysteries and the beauty. We're to work hard. But then I see here very clearly, he says we're to do good. And let me camp on this for a second. Do you know it is naturally designed in Christians to do good? Do you know the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, you are created as his workmanship unto good works. Are you aware of that? You were designed. Matter of fact, when you got saved, let me tell you what happened. You still have the old flesh nature. I know there's people that believe that when you get saved, you become perfect. But there's something mentally wrong with that. Because if you look around, nobody's perfect. Okay, we still sin. We have a sin nature. But can we be honest? When we got saved, what happened is now we got the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God has power over our sin nature. And the more we get close to the Lord, and there's one of the neat DNA things that come with that, I would say it this way, is that we now have a desire to do good. No, sir, do good. You say, well, I wanted to do good when I was earlier. No, you did good because it was culturally right. Any good that you did wasn't innately designed inside of you when you're lost. It's because of your culture. You say, what do you mean? Well, you grew up in a society if you were taught not to steal. Some of us were taught not to cuss and steal and lie, and we weren't Christians. You say, why? Oh, we lived in America. That was a cultural thing, and we were taught character things. But can I tell you, when I got saved, it was innately designed inside of me, you want to do good. You want to do right. And when I look at this, and he's saying, hey, part of our life, part of the makeup of life and the time that we spend is to do good. If you don't know what to do, can I tell you this? Just do good. Just do good. I was studying for this and watched one of those kids movies with my granddaughter, and you'll recognize it if you have kids, but I won't go into it. But sure enough, one of the statements, often there's statements and I'm having to correct, go, that's not true. You know, that's what papas do, you know, that's not actually accurate. But this one was, and the statement was this, just do the next right thing. Some of you are thinking, what movie is that? You'll figure it out. But there's a lot of ice in it. But anyways, just do the next right thing. And I remember it popping up, and I thought, actually, that's a proper statement. You say, well, you don't know what to do. What do? You're depressed. You're down. My life's falling apart. And I don't see the mystery anymore. And I don't see the beauty anymore. And what do? Just do the next good thing. We're designed to do good. You say, what am I going to do tomorrow? Get up and do whatever is good. Whatever is good. Whatever is right. Whatever's right in your situation, just do that. You say, why? But I want to know the big plan. Maybe God's not going to tell you yet. You say, so what do I do? Get up and do good, do right until God opens up the door and shows you the rest of the plan. But you have a reason to live, and there's a reason for life. Enjoy the beauty. Enjoy the mystery. Work and just do good. You're telling me that's my life? Welcome to life. Now, there's more to it we're going to see here in just a minute. But yeah, the basis of life, yeah. But that's not a bad thing. What I want you to know is this divine plan of God was this. We just kind of talked about it in general. But his plan is that you work hard. You enjoy your life. And that's the next part. He says, it is the gift of God. Verse 11. Can I remind you? We hit this shortly last week. But can I remind you? This is God's gift to you. Do you know working's a gift from God? Do you know beauty's a gift from God? You know everything God created and the beauty of it? That's sometimes why I love to be around kids. They appreciate it. You ever notice how they'll see things we've seen forever? They're like, oh, look, isn't that pretty? And you're like, what? The butterfly. And you're like, I'm usually just doing this. Get away from me. You know, they're like, oh, look at the butterfly. You know, or ladybug lands on you. Look, isn't it so cute? Okay, I can't smash this one. That's right. Okay. And you're looking, going, oh, yeah, you know, actually, it is. Yeah, okay, it's pretty cool. It's interesting how little eyes start seeing things and just appreciate what we ought to be appreciating. The flowers. I'm just saying, God designed, have you forgotten? God designed this life for you. You see, here's the whole thing. As Solomon's going through all this, and he's going about the travail of man and everything, woven in there through inspiration is this wonderful life that God has created. And I can't let you forget in verse 11, and it is a gift from God. No, it is a gift. Whatever amount of time you and I have, It's interesting how we bemoan that and we complain if we don't live, whatever, 70, 80 years. But can I tell you, whatever life you have right now, you ought to thank God you've had this much time. There are thousands and millions of people who will never make it to your age, will never experience what you and I have experienced. And I'm like you, love to live older, and I'm not sure how old. I don't know if I want to make 100, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, Brenda and I talk about that. I'm like, I don't know if I want that one, okay? But you know what? Whatever God says, but the fact of the matter is, whenever we get, no, really stop and think about this. Shouldn't our mentality be this? Thank you, God. And so one of my observations, we went in depth in the other direction there, but I just wanted to back up tonight. I know it's simple, but I don't want you to miss this. I think we miss the joy of life so often. I think we get caught up in the toils and the tribulation. We're going to hit some of that in chapter 4, because I've already cheated and ran ahead, okay? And I get that. I know that's part of life. But in the midst of that, we can get so caught up in that kind of stuff, in our frailties and our problems and all our issues, and we get so caught up, we fail to see the beauty, to get up and see the sun set and the sun rise. And I mean, even the beauty of Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma can be pretty. I know, shocking. Trust me. I mean, but we just fail to recognize it. We fail to see it. We fail to understand the mystery of life and the challenges that God gives us so we don't get bored and we enjoy life. We fail to realize that work is good for us. And as we're complaining about it and the travail of it, the fact of the matter is it keeps us healthy and provides goods and allows us income to do things. I mean, there's so many things. It's all about your perspective. Because why? Folks, these are gifts from God. Well, these are stuff God gave us to do. And we spend most of our time complaining about them. You're complaining about where we live, the different seasons. We have to work. You know what we don't realize? Those are wonderful things God gave because He designed us. He knows we need every single one of those. Every single one of them. So that's the overall observation. But I can't get away from this. And I want to give you a couple thoughts here. As we look at these observations about the meaning of life, I end with this, just a few more applications we weren't able to get to. The most obvious one that we missed last week is this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to redeem. In other words, we need to buy up, rescue from loss, the time God has given us. Oh, I could give you many stats of how many minutes are in the day, how many seconds, all that kind of fun stuff. And you can look that up on the internet, so I didn't even mess with it. Anybody can do that. You know how much time you have, and what life is all about. And we all know that. We have the same amount of time every day. Everybody does. And we get all that. I'm not against that style of preaching and bringing that up. But here's the emphasis I want you to understand. We have a birth date. We don't know what our end date is. But this I know. With what time we have, and I'm going to say this, which I often say, and you can't go back. So here's what that means. Start where you're at and redeem the time. In other words, make good use of the time you have left. Now, there's going to be time for mysteries and time for beauty and time for enjoying. No debate about that. That's why I started with that. You got to work. You got to provide. You betcha. That's part of the life that God has given us. But can I say this? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, because time is limited and nobody knows how much more time we have left. Can I tell you? Put it to good use. What are we doing with our time? Besides enjoying life and what God has given us, there is more to life God has designed. There is more God wants from us. That's just the fleshly part we started with, the carnal part that is okay to enjoy. But with whatever time you have, no, listen, utilize it and enjoy it. Enjoy it, because it soon passes. I'm looking out and seeing stories of our widows who have lost their husbands or their wives. People have lost their children. People have great losses that would love to go back in time and have more time. And have had to accept the time that was given to them by Almighty God. And it's a difficult thing. And you and I are standing here today, and we're reminded in Scripture of this. Redeem the time because the days are evil. In other words, if it's good right now, praise the Lord, because tomorrow it may not be. You don't know what's coming. Why? Because that is part of this life. And all the good that's in this life, there's also a lot of bad. And the fact of the matter is, we got to take advantages. And here's how I see it. If you go back to verses 1 on down, and it listed all these comparisons of time to kill, a time not to kill, a time for war. Here's what it's saying. There's a time for everything. So let me help you with this philosophy of redeeming the time. I'm of the belief you don't always get second chances. And don't get me wrong. I love second, third, fourth, fifth, 25th chances. I love them. Most of us have gotten multiple. But can we stop for a minute when we talk about redeeming the time? And let's just be honest. There are windows. Can we use scripture? There are seasons. And there are opportunities for certain things. There's some flowers that only pop up at a certain time. There's some bugs that only come at a certain time. Praise the Lord for that. But there's seasons, tornado seasons, hurricane seasons. No, there's windows. Well, don't you understand? In life, it's the same way. No, no, I want you to think about this. There were certain things. And again, we're gonna start where we're at. Hey, I don't want to lose you. I'm not here to give you regret. Okay, hey, if you've blown most of your life, ask God for forgiveness. Start today. Get up and serve Almighty God. Are you with me? Okay, this message isn't designed to put you in regret. Okay, and to go back. But you can start where you're at and realize this. I don't know how much more time I have. But this I know is opportunities come, use them. What do you mean? God's telling me to witness somebody. Open up your mouth and share the gospel with them. Why? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You don't have a guarantee you have a week, a month, 2 years from now to talk to that person. You don't know. Why? Everything's seasonal. They can move. They could pass away. There's so much that can happen in life. Things change all the time. And I believe there are seasons and times. We went through them. We've seen several, even as we've been here. If I were to go back to 9/11, there was a great harvest of souls at 9/11. When that happened, I mean, seriously, churches were becoming full. Probably for about 6 to 8 months, there was a great interest in spiritual things, and then it went away. When COVID hit, you know, some of our largest growth, we lost like 20% of the congregation during COVID. Are you aware of that? Yeah, most people are like, are you kidding me? Yeah, about 20% of active members. Now, we've grown way past that. Because when that got done, people realized, oh, wait a minute. I need God. So even a lot of you came to Jesus Christ in the last couple of years after the COVID thing or got right with God. That was a good thing. But can I tell you, I also believe there's windows to that. In other words, God's Spirit's always moving and God's Spirit's always working. But can I tell you, that doesn't mean hearts are open to receive. And I've been in ministry long enough to watch these waves come and go. And we're always going to preach the gospel. We're always going to teach the truth. But can I tell you, hey, His Spirit isn't always moving because we're not receptive. Don't misunderstand that. God's Spirit's always moving somewhere, and He will move in anybody's heart. But can I tell you, He doesn't force Himself on anybody. And there's got to be a Spirit wanting to receive it. And I'll see Him moving. And there was a time where He moved greatly in America. And I'm not saying He's done, but I can tell you, I watched as He moved that Spirit and the great salvations of souls being saved already to the Philippines. And seriously, we sent a missionary to the Philippines, and I mean for like the last 40 years, it's like, you're seeing salvations after by the groves. I've seen it in Mexico. There's a time, I mean, church was popping up all over. It's like the Spirit of God moving because the people are receptive to it. And don't miss this. You can get saved any time. But there's times, there's seasons where people get hard hearts and aren't interested. But in times of difficulty, we never like them. But I'll tell you what it does. It makes us stop and redeem the time. Usually when things are going really, really good, we don't redeem the time. We think everything's going to set, like interest rates will always stay the same. That's what I think. Matter of fact, we've done some research on that. But if you go back and look, and everyone's like, oh, what are we going to do? Interest rates are no longer 3 or 4 or 5. Historically, that was a very rare time. Now, are you ready? That was a window and a good time to buy a house if you're going to buy a house. But a good illustration, it didn't stay that way. And by the way, even at 7%, historically, phenomenally good. But the problem is when you leave 3, 4, 5%, 7 don't look good. You're like, that's like the worst thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, back up about 20 years. Now, those people 20 years ago going, 7? That's amazing. They were at 9, 10, 11 going, oh. I remember back in the 80s, before I really knew anything, talking about 13, 14, 15%. You know, and people are like, oh, the interest rates came down. We can get a house for 13%. Nowadays, you're like, shoot me now. I'm saying that's a physical, practical element that, by the way, mirrors spiritual things. Everything does. Everything does. So what is it saying? Just like that's seasonal and things change and the economy changes. Are you ready? Spiritually, things change. Spiritually. So when we say, hey, redeem the time. How do you want me to redeem the time? Let me help with this. If you're here tonight, and I know it's a Wednesday night, but you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have no guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow, next week, or next year. You have no guarantee you'll be interested and be thinking about it, and the devil won't come and place other thoughts in your mind and drive you away. You have no earthly idea. Can I tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, don't know how to go to heaven, We'd love to take whatever time necessary to open up the Word of God and show you. See, that's what we're talking about, redeeming the time. See, there is a time for everything. And there's a time to make sure you know God. Bet definitely want to do it before you pass away. I say all the time at funerals, one of the best gifts you give to your family is the knowledge you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. For me to have to preside over a body and to thank that I got to ask the family, did they know? Did they ever put the faith in Jesus Christ? And they're saying, I'm not sure, or I don't know, or I hope so. That's a difficult time. But I've been on the other side when they're saying, oh, yeah, preacher. Oh, yeah, my mom's been saved for a long time. Oh, dad, they told us stories and so forth. Maybe didn't always live the way they should. And they had some ups and downs. But, man, now we're 100% confident they're saved. And look at their Bible. They've marked it up. And, man, they loved it. I'm sitting there going, praise Jesus. Of whatever they've left, there's nothing greater than that. Can I tell you what they did? They redeemed the time. They took care of things. So best thing you're going to do in redeeming the time, take care of your soul. Take care of your soul. Secondly, can I tell you this? Because time is short, serve God. We just preached Sunday, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can I remind you? Time is short. Do whatever you can for God right now. One day there's coming and there's an award day coming. We know that in Scripture. The bema seat, we stand before God and get those crowns. No, wait a minute. Those crowns, we have one opportunity. It's right now. So if I were going to say redeem the time, I'm not talking about spending too much time reading or too much time playing a game. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. But I'm saying in the midst of time, whatever you're doing, are you ready? Make sure you're doing the important things as well. Make sure you take time for the things that really matter. You know you're saved, your family's saved, you're serving God, you're following God. Why? Because the evil days are coming. The fact of the matter is everyone would probably love if I preached on prophecy every single week, and I get that. But I don't need to preach on prophecy every single week. Why? You have the news. You see what I mean? Watch the news. If that doesn't totally freak you out, I'm not sure what else will. And then you get the Word of God and find out there's hope in Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest ways for you to make sure you're right with God is to pay attention to all these rumors taking place with wars and rumors of wars. It ought to drive a Christian right to our knees and right with God, redeeming the time. Hey, if you're paying attention at all, you know things are changing. You know things are changing in this world. So when he says redeeming the time, and even Psalm says there's a time for everything, a time for war and a time for peace. He's just telling us this, folks. God made life and he made it with meaning. Mystery, beauty, love, all those things. He made that. But he also did this. He warned us that things won't always be the way you think they're going to be. And he's given us this thing called time so that we can understand it. And he's saying, listen, learn, take the time you have, and are you ready? Do something with it. And the only thing that matters, yes, enjoy the beauty, enjoy the mystery. But as far as eternity, make sure you're saved and make sure you're serving God. Because those are the things going to matter. By the time we get to the end of the book, he tells us this. Let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Why? Those are the things that are going to matter in the end. And so I tell you early, fear your God. Serve him while you have time. Yes, enjoy all the other things because God designed it that way. But do not leave out the most important. I don't know what you're doing, but there's a time to get serious. I'm a lighthearted, funny guy. It's true. But here's the thing. There's a time for seriousness. And you can be lighter and funny, but also realize seriousness. And can I tell you, when it comes to things of God, that's pretty serious. And here's what I challenge you. If you're not right with God, get right. You don't know how much longer you have. If you're not saved, folks, get saved. You don't know how much longer you have. That's redeeming the time with this life that God has given us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we just thank you of this aspect of time, this aspect of life, this mystery of life you've given us, this beauty of life, the positive things. But also, Lord, as we see warnings coming in Ecclesiastes and even in the very next chapter of the difficult times that often come as well, Lord. So, Lord, while we have opportunity, Lord, we take advantage of the good times. We take advantage of doing what is right and getting things right with you while we can. Because we have no guarantees of tomorrow. Life is a vapor, James says, that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Time. Lord, it's an amazing thing you've given us, a great opportunity you've given us. Thank you. To enjoy so many things, but in the midst of it, may we not leave out the most important, you. You, after all, has given us all these things to enjoy. And Lord, it would be wrong of us not to thank you, appreciate you, and more importantly, to serve you. Lord, help us to do so, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. Thank you all this evening. I pray you have a good day, and praise the Lord, the wind's gone. Amen. Good stuff. Hi, I'm Pastor John Waterloo. Thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of the service. I hope one day you can connect with us here in our church service as well. That'd be such a great blessing. We'd also like to let you know about just some other resources we have. You can jump on our Facebook page or our website, wherever you'd like, and find out about our ministries. But again, we'd love to have you join with us one day. Thank you so much for being in our services, and may the Lord bless you.